It's go time!
Now it's time for the Disney View Podcast. Please move across your car to make room for everyone. Our podcast will begin momentarily. Join Dave as he makes his Grand Circle tour around the Walt Disney World Resort. Dave is a dreamer and an engineer who enjoys the magic and wonder of it all, but understands Disney's place in history and respects the legacy that's been left. Come along and hear Dave's thoughts about Walt Disney World and see it through Dave's eyes.
Please stand clear of the podcaster. Por favor, manténganse alejado del David.
And now, here's your host.
Hey everyone, it's Dave. Welcome to another edition of Dave's Disney View Podcast. On today's podcast, I wanted to bring on a guest and continue talking about Aulani and some of the fun things you can do there, and maybe we'll hedge into Disney a little more and Disney World. I'd like to welcome my guest, Shannon. Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. I haven't had a guest on my show in a while now, so it's kind of nice to kind of get back in the Disney spirit again. You know, things have been sort of awkward and odd for the last couple of years, so it's nice to kind of feel it again and start getting that emotion going about Disney.
Yeah.
So you recently took a trip to Aulani. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what the resort is and, you know, kind of how it works and maybe a couple of tips about going out there for anyone who might be interested.
Yeah, I would love to do that. So I went to Aulani with my husband and my 9-year-old, and it was something that we've been wanting to do for a long time.
Cool.
We are, of course, Disney fans, and my in-laws live in Florida, so we've had a lot of opportunities to go to the parks there. But we'd never been to Aulani. And our 10th anniversary was coming, so we felt that it was a good time to go. So I looked into it. I looked into some advice that people have given online, and Aulani seemed like a really good fit. So we actually booked it through DVC points, rental points.
Interesting. Okay.
Which, yeah, which worked out really well. We started out that we were looking to just book a hotel room, and then somebody told me about how you can purchase DVC points or rent them. So we did that, and that was great because we got, you know, a really nice room for the three of us. It was beautiful. We had a great view. There was a nice balcony, and we had an amazing view of the ocean.
I can imagine.
And we stayed there. Yeah, we stayed there for 7. We were there in the resort for 7 full days.
Wow.
And we had 2 travel days. So it was like 9 days, but it was 7 full days that we were actually there.
That's amazing.
It was a perfect length of time. I actually, reflecting back, I had been to Hawaii like years and years ago when I was in high school with my parents, and my husband had never been. And so we wanted to see some of the islands. And so we spent we kind of alternated back and forth between being at the resort, being off the resort. But when we reflected back, like if we went back, we definitely felt like you could spend an entire 7 days just at the resort.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was that fun.
Now,
and there was a lot to do.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, you know, I Hawaii has always been on my bucket list. It's always been a matter of cost and distance. Living in Florida, it's, you know, about the farthest you can go, I guess, and still be in the U.S. So it's always been about, you know, that sort of thing getting there. So it's been on my bucket list. And the pictures and everything, it's just sort of beautiful. And, you know, you kind of think back in history to seeing all these TV shows where they made it look idyllic in the 70s and 80s and, you know, all these things where it's just fun. And now, you know, you see all these different things and you go, wow, I'd really like to visit there. So I'm kind of jealous in a way. It's one of those places I'd always wanted to go. And Aulani, adding the Disney touches to it, it's got to be kind of amazing too.
It is. I mean, one of the things that I really enjoyed about it was that we felt like we were 100% enjoying Hawaii and the Hawaiian culture and immersed in that. And we were right there on a lagoon, on the beautiful, you know, ocean there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we had a little bit of Disney kind of in the background. So I'd say that Aulani is a lot more relaxed and quiet than like being in Disney World in the park. But you still have a lot of Disney touches that make it really special that would make it better than like staying at, I think, a different resort there.
Okay.
So things like, well, of course, the cast members were amazing.
Of course.
As they always are. Yes. I mean, they were just amazing. I had so many positive experiences with cast members there. And I actually want to get, is it okay if I give a shout out to one?
Absolutely.
Cast member in particular. So one cast member in particular, his name's Todd, was there, and he was working like in the pool area, and we at like every time we needed someone, it was like we turned around and Todd was there. And Todd not only helped us like where we needed to go and what we needed to do, but he would actually escort us places and get things for us, and he was just amazing. And so we had interacted with him several times, and then after a few days of interacting with him and him helping us, he came out and gave us a special Alani print that was like an art piece of the resort for us to take home, which we brought home and framed. And it was just such a nice gesture and such a great memorabilia for us. So that was really fun.
Yeah, and I just got to say, you know, props to you. You know, I think to him, because it's such a great thing. You know, when cast members go above and beyond, it's so cool. And I remember, you know, I'm going to give him the secret high five, the secret cast member high five. You know, I'm doing it virtually, of course, but you know, it's just one of those things. There's something about being a cast member when you can be memorable for someone's vacation, even if they don't remember your name. If they remember you as a person helping them, it's awesome. It's just one of those, you know, it's a great feeling. So on that side of it, I'm sure he was thrilled to be helping in that way. Because I still remember some of the guests that I helped, you know, 25 years ago. And just, you know, just the way it went down, because they were so nice and you wanted to help them so much and you do things for them. And it was just great. So, you know, virtual high five for that. That's cool. And yes. I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah. So, and those are the kind of things that I think make Disney special, that I really appreciate about Disney as opposed to a different resort.
Mm-hmm.
And some other Disney touches that we really enjoyed about Alani is that they had character meet and greets.
Okay.
But the character meet and greets were very subtle and quieter than like when you're in the park.
Okay.
So, and I loved that because my daughter loves to meet the characters, and I do too.
Sure.
But when you're in the parks, you know, a lot of times it's really hard to get close to the characters or to get an appointment to see them or get into a restaurant to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But at Alani, they would have a schedule every day of when the characters were going to be out to greet people and where they were going to be. And you would go to that spot, and it was usually a spot that was quieter, like not near the pool, like on another side of the resort. And there would just be a small crowd, and then the characters would interact personally with each person, and the cast members would take photos for you if you wanted to buy photos, like on the photo pass.
Yep.
But then they also would take your cell phone or camera and take photos for you, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I thought, I thought that was a really nice gesture, too, so you didn't have to buy photos. And just the way that they did it, it was very, it was just a lot more calm, and I felt like a little more personal than in the parks, because we just felt like we had such individual time with the characters. And that was, they were behind some, you know, because they still had some COVID restrictions when we were there.
Yep.
So we didn't have to wear masks outside, but which is where they would meet and greet people.
Okay.
But they were behind like I don't know, like a little fence. It wasn't really a fence,
but a way to keep them separated a little bit.
Right, exactly. Like yep. A little thing. So they didn't actually touch or hug you.
Okay.
But they were close and interacting with you, so they would like blow kisses and say things, you know, mind things and everything. So that was really fun too.
Yeah,
and so we actually saw 11 characters.
Oh wow!
There.
In the 7 days, that's pretty good considering it's not that's not the point of the resort. That's pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was really fun, and they did have a character breakfast, which was modified a little bit for COVID, but that was still really nice. And really fun. Like, they had modified the character breakfast and the luau dinner, which used to be buffets, but now they serve everything, like, in courses. I felt like it was, I mean, they gave us so much food, and there were so many courses that I don't think anybody really would be disappointed, honestly. And the food was really good.
Now, that makes all the difference.
What was that?
That makes all the difference there when that works like that.
Yeah. So that was another nice Disney touch. And then another thing that we did that the cast members provided was we booked a 20-minute photo session on the beach.
Oh, I heard you could do that. Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, and we did that because, I mean, I think, like, anybody could do it. I would recommend it to anyone. But we did it especially because it was our 10th anniversary.
Right.
Commemorate that. And so a cast member met us down on the beach and took photos of us, like, in the water. I mean, she said to us, we told her it was our anniversary. She said, do you mind getting wet? And we were like, I guess not. You know, we were thinking, like, oh, we'll, like, get our feet wet or whatever. And she ended up, like, having us, like, full out, like, in the water, splashing each other, sitting in the waves, you know. But our pictures came out amazing. So we just kind of trusted what she said.
That's
and
awesome.
They came out so good.
I love that. Fun. Again, another high five to a cast member, right? Because they did something that was so unexpected.
Exactly. Yeah, she was really great as well, which I'm trying to remember her name. I can't remember her name right
and
now.
That's the thing. You may not remember it, but you remember her and you'll remember that experience. And that, you know, to me, that's worth it. That right there.
Yes. So not only did we have these amazing pictures, but we also had so much fun taking the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had dinner reservations and then we were, you know, we had been in the water, so we had to call the restaurant and tell them we were running late so that we could go change.
That's pretty funny, but I like that. I mean, you know, it just makes, it makes the whole thing so much more memorable. It's a much more personal experience in a way, because it's yours.
It was.
You know, you didn't just roll from one thing to another. You had an experience, and that's cool.
Definitely.
You know, and when you were talking about the characters, I was reminded of after 9/11, there was something they were doing where they were bringing the characters around to the hotels to meet guests before the park opened. They'd come at like 7:30 in the morning. There'd be a caravan of characters. It'd be like six or eight characters that would come to the hotel and they would meet guests in the lobby. And it was really, really cool and very intimate and very different than meeting them in the parks. And it was like, it was one of those experiences and my kids loved it. It was so much fun because it was so different. And we never had an experience like that ever again. It was, you know, it lasted for a couple of months and then they went back to regular meet and greets in the parks and it was like, huh, how did we get that lucky?
No, I agree. I mean, we've always enjoyed our character meet and greets, but mm-hmm. the ones at Aulani just seemed more personal and just less hectic,
yep.
I think, because it was not, and it wasn't in the middle of the day where we were kind of like running from attraction to attraction.
Right, right, right.
So that probably also helped.
That doesn't hurt, yeah.
Right. So that was something we really loved about Aulani, though, that we felt like we were at Disney, so to speak.
Right.
But in a way that was a different experience than we'd ever had before because it was so relaxed.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because that's the thing about, you know, when you go to the parks, it always feels like it's a little hectic because you're trying to get from one place to another. And now with, you know, the whole Genie Plus and even with Fast Passes, it was the same kind of thing where you were always trying to get somewhere. And it felt like there was always a schedule to stick to. And it just felt a little rushed sometimes or still feels a little rushed. So that's nice to hear that.
Another thing that I think is cool is that I know that you like a lot of like Disney history and little facts, but I didn't fact check this, but I did hear from a cast member when we were there that the artist who created and planned Animal Kingdom also had a hand in planning Aulani, and in particular the like all the pool area, which is filled with like what looks like big rocks and structure, like natural structure, which is really beautiful and amazing how they've done it. And the artist, which I don't know what his name is, but he embedded pictures of animals into all the rocks, kind of like the Tree of Life.
Oh, that's cool.
Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
But they're kind of disguised. So you don't really notice them. Like, we hadn't even noticed them. And then one of the cast members said, did you notice the animals are in the pool area that are in the rocks? And we said, no. And
he said, what?
You need to go look for them. And so then we started looking, and we found all these different, like, sea creatures. So that was really neat. So I took a whole bunch of pictures of them, like whales and turtles. And they're once you see them, you know, it's really obvious, but if you don't look for them, they kind of just blend in.
That's cool. I love those subtle things like that, where, you know, there's an attention to detail that is there, and is so immersive, but it's subtle enough where it's not like in your face. It's just part of the theming. And when you really pay attention to it, it's much more immersive than you ever thought or ever imagined.
Yeah, that was really, neat. I mean, you know, kind of, I don't know, accent. And then another thing that was like that is that they have manihunis, which are like a Hawaiian, kind of like a Hawaiian leprechaun.
Okay.
They're called manihunis.
Okay.
And they're supposed to be mischievous and kind of like a leprechaun. And they have them hidden all around the resort, too. So that's really fun, trying to find the little manihunis, or sometimes you'd stumble upon one that would be like behind a bush or up it. There's one in the elevator that was like up on the ceiling. And so as we were walking around like different places, we would say, or my daughter would notice, look, there's a manihuni, and they're just kind of all over.
That's cool.
So that was another fun little detail that they incorporated.
That's fun. And I just looked it up, and sure enough, Joe Rohde did design Animal Kingdom, and also did a lot of the designs at Aulani. So tall tale there. That's actually what happened.
Good.
There you go.
So that cast member was correct.
Spot on, baby. I know sometimes they're tall tales, but this one was true.
Okay, that's good. It doesn't surprise me because you can see his style, you know, when you look at it.
That's cool. Yeah, because I can imagine, you know, seeing some of the pictures, it sure looked like it had that same sort of thematic to it, you know, because he's got a unique style. Each of the Imagineers has something they do that's unique, and if you really pay attention, you can kind of pick out who belongs to what. It's kind of...
Right.
It's you have to really be paying attention, but Joe Rohde's kind of obvious in a way, because it's Animal Kingdom and it's, you know, Aulani, but that's cool. That's good to know. I had never thought about that before, but that's really cool.
High point for us when we were running around finding
all those
animals. Another thing that we loved about the pool area is that they have a snorkel pool that you can snorkel in and see fish. And I loved that personally because I get really nervous snorkeling. I've tried snorkeling in the ocean.
Okay.
And I feel uncomfortable in the ocean snorkeling. So for anybody who does not feel comfortable snorkeling in the open water, this is perfect. Because you go into the pool and you snorkel and there are fish everywhere that you can see. And they even have times that you can feed the fish if you want from the edge. But I did go in the water in the lagoon. And even just being in the water, I saw some fish just swimming around us, and the water's very clear. So it would be probably a good place to snorkel.
Oh, I would think, yeah. I mean, the way they set these things up, I remember when they used to have the shark encounter over at Typhoon Lagoon, it was really cool, because you could actually swim among the sharks, you snorkel among them, but they weren't really there with you. They were sort of there with you. It was very clever the way they had it set up, and it was so much fun.
That's what this was like. And the other thing that was really neat about it is that they had viewing windows. So if you weren't snorkeling with other members of your party or family, you could watch them snorkeling.
That's cool.
From the viewing window, and you could see like underwater, and you could take pictures too.
Nice.
So that was also a neat aspect to that.
And that's pretty neat. So if your daughter was snorkeling, you got to see her. I don't know if she did, but that's still pretty cool.
She did. She had a great time.
I would imagine she did.
Cold in the water, that's the only negative.
Okay.
They have to keep it cold for the fish.
Yep. Sure.
So it's a little colder than all the other pools. But other than that, it was really fun.
But, you know, it's worth it, you know, for a little while in the pool, a little dip to swim with fish. That's kind of cool.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty neat. I mean, it sounds like such a fun experience to, you know, to just be able to be there and kind of experience it and be, you know, enjoy it and really take in the Hawaiian culture. I guess it's true what they say, that they've kind of merged the Hawaiian culture into the sort of the atmosphere they've got there. That's what I've always heard.
That is 100% true. I felt very much like we were in Hawaii and that was being celebrated and respected. Another thing that I noticed was at the resort, they had Hawaiian art everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, I even took some pictures of it because it was really amazing, a lot of the art. It was just throughout the entire hotel, Hawaiian art. And just the architecture, too, was very open air. I mean, when you walk into the lobby, it just opens up to the whole pool area and the ocean. So when you walk in,
neat.
Straight through to see the ocean straight in front of you.
That's
so
really cool.
It's very, you feel almost like I would say like in Animal Kingdom, or very similar to that feel, or at the Animal Kingdom Resort, where they really try to connect with the natural environment. Aulani definitely achieved that.
That's cool, because that's one of those amazing things when they're able to do that and make it really work. Again, it's about that immersiveness. It's telling the story in a way, you know, and letting you experience it without like putting it in your face, but making it part of what you see, right? It's really a difficult thing for most people to do, for most companies to do, especially when they're trying to, you know, when they have profit at the end of it. But it's really neat that they're able to do that and get that that experience.
Definitely. That's cool. The way that Aulani's set up, it's on this little lagoon that is man-made. So there is the natural ocean, and then there are these man-made lagoons. There are like three or four of them.
Okay.
And Aulani's on one of them. So another nice thing is that in most of Hawaii, and as we drove around the island, we saw there were very large waves everywhere.
Okay.
Because, I mean, and that's good for surfers. But,
sure.
And there are also a lot of rocks and things like that. But at Aulani, they created this little lagoon so that the waves kind of crash on some rocks that are before the lagoon. And then when you're in the lagoon, it's very calm.
Ah.
So it's a great place like for small children, or sure, if you don't want to be in big waves, or you don't want to worry about like currents and things like that. So we really liked that about it too. And the sand was nice. So they did a really nice job with that, but
that's
without
cool.
making it look like it looked natural.
Yep.
It still looked like Hawaii. It was beautiful and very natural looking.
That's very cool. Hey, I have to ask you too. So do they have a kids club or things for your daughter to do while you were there?
They do. Yes, they had tons of stuff to do. So
okay.
We didn't have a chance to do everything, but we did do a few things. So some of the things that they had every day, they put out a schedule of events. So they had events that you could go to that were free.
Right.
And then they had events that you paid for because you had to pay for supplies or whatever. And then they had just, like, meet and greets. So all of that is on the schedule every day. And they, some of the things that you could look like in advance, but we noticed that the carriage and meet and greets in particular didn't usually come up until, like, the morning.
Okay.
So usually every morning, if we were going to be at the resort, we would look at the schedule for the day and then plan what we were doing. But some of the other things, like they made like mouse ears, for example. That was when you could book in advance that they had like kind of further out if you wanted to.
Okay.
So they did things like making, you know, Mickey or Minnie ears, and they had stories like at the pool where somebody would come out and tell like Hawaiian stories. My daughter really enjoyed that one.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And that again connected to the Hawaiian culture. And they had another thing my daughter did that we kind of all did together was that they had this Menahuni Trail scavenger hunt.
Okay.
Where they gave her like an iPad, and the iPad would give her, she would have like clues of different places that we would need to go on the scavenger hunt to like get the next clue and solve this mystery. And so they would give her a clue, and then she would go to that spot, and then when she went to that spot, it would give her some kind of direction, and if she did what it was asking her to do, then something would actually happen at that spot.
Uh-huh.
So like, for example, there was one spot she went to where it was talking about and it was all Hawaiian themed, so it was talking about like Hawaiian sea turtles and how
Neat.
They lay their eggs and then the babies go into the ocean. And so when we went to the spot where we found the spot on the scavenger hunt, and then she like pressed a button on the iPad,
mm-hmm.
There was like a little, I don't know how to describe it, but it was kind of like a little water area. And when she pressed it, all of a sudden, all these little baby turtles came up in the water area and swam away.
Oh, cool.
So it triggered different neat things to happen.
Okay.
There was another one that was like in a little koi pond,
uh-huh.
And the islands of Hawaii rose out of the pond, and that was really neat too. So
neat.
It made all these different things happen around the whole area, like the pool area.
Interactive and using technology and all the cool things that go with that. That's neat.
Yeah, and it took about an hour. Okay. That was fun.
Great way to
spend time. And there were other things, too. There were lots of activities for kids. They did a movie night when we were there. I'm trying to think what else, but I can't think of anything else really. Oh, you know what? They had ukulele lessons and hula lessons.
How fun.
Those were other things that they did. So everything was kind of Hawaiian themed.
Oh, that's very cool. I mean, it sounds like such a great time. You know, just everything just feeling like, you know, it just kind of works, right? It all works out. You know, you have some vacations you go to and you come away from and you go, yeah, that was great, but... And some that just work out and it just seems like everything came together and it sounds like you had a great time.
It did. It was really great. Another activity that they have there is the luau.
Okay, right.
I would highly recommend to anybody who went there because, again... It was very much done with respect to the Hawaiian tradition, and it was just like a tiny bit of Disney in it, where a couple of characters came out at one point,
okay,
and did the hula, and they were dressed in Hawaiian attire. So okay. Most of it was just what you would see, I think, at any luau, telling a story. You know, it was a very engaging story, and the way that they did it. And we were all sitting outside, and they had an outdoor stage, but then they also had performers who were in the audience as well, like where you're eating.
Gotcha.
So wherever you were, you had people performing around you.
You were headed around you.
Which was really nice.
That kind of reminds me of the Spirit of Aloha show that they now used to do at the Polynesian Resort, similar in that sense. And now they've discontinued that show. They're going to build a DVC property on that spot. So no more show there.
I never saw that show.
And it was pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't say it was spectacular, but it was a nice representation of sort of the Polynesian sort of sense. And they had a luau. It wasn't exactly like you'd get in Hawaii, but it was sort of similar. It captured the spirit of it, which was kind of nice. And, you know, you could see it, and it was sort of, it sort of had this fun aspect to it where you were out there and you felt like you were engaged in this sort of luau. And they did the, you know, fire dancing and hula dancing and all kinds of other things to make it kind of interactive and, you know, just fun. And, I guess, you know, now the only way you're going to be able to see something like that in a Disney sense is to go to Waolani. So that's...
Yeah. And actually, I can make another shout-out to a cast member for the luau because...
Okay.
We had our server... who was serving us, her name was Grace, and she went above and beyond because my husband does not like coconut, and in Hawaii, like, everything has either coconut
yep.
or pineapple.
Right. Little problem there. Yeah.
So anyway, they were serving, you know, drinks with coconut and food with coconut, and she went and got him specifically a drink that did not have coconut and food that did not have coconut in it.
Oh, cool.
For him. And he didn't even ask. He just mentioned, like, we were just chatting with her and mentioned that coconut is in everything. And that's why he didn't want to drink the drink. And
funny.
She just went and got him, like, his own serving of, you know, a different drink and different food that didn't have coconut. And we just thought that was just, we really appreciated
that.
It was just, you know, one of those things that was just above and beyond.
I love that. You know, when somebody goes above and beyond and just really takes it to heart and, you know, it's not really about the job. It's about, you know, having the experience and they make it special, right? The cast
right.
members who do that. So yeah, I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I always try to give that shout out to cast members where I can, because that's, you know, that's the whole point. It's like, that's what makes the magic, is the cast members. It's not about, it is about other stuff, but that's what really makes the difference. Otherwise, you're just...
Absolutely.
You know, you're an attraction.
They make you feel good, you know?
Yes.
They make you feel special and happy, and there's nothing like that.
No, there really isn't. And that's why I always kid about the secret handshake, because, you know, once you've joined that fraternity in a way... It always stays with you because you understand what it's like to do that every day, right? And do that for people and be a part of it. And there are days when you're having your worst day and you just put a smile on and you go out there and you make it the best anyway. And because somebody else is going to remember it for whatever reason, they're going to remember you.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know,
and I'm a teacher, so I can relate to that feeling of, you know, helping kids and,
sure.
and trying to help people have a good day, even when you might not be. And so I know how it can be hard sometimes. So I always really appreciate it when somebody goes out of their way like that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm one of those people, I'm sort of geeky that way. I'll go up and walk up and talk to a cast member and just start chatting with them and, you know, reminding them why, the, you know, what it is that makes their job special. just because, you know, that's part of how you keep the legacy alive, right? You just kind of help them out a little bit, you know, especially if it looks like they're maybe not having the best day. You just want to kind of help them get there. So, it's kind of neat.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's always kind of exciting. But that is so cool. It sounds like such a fun place to go.
It was. I'm trying to think of anything else I haven't mentioned that people would want to know. Another tip that I would say is that there is an amazing sunset at Olani.
Okay.
And especially if you go out, there's the way that it's set up, there's a lagoon, and around the lagoon are walkways. And so you can go walk, which we loved this too. There are walkways, and there are other hotels kind of along the water, but not in a way that's like Waikiki Beach, that's like you feel like it's overpopulated. You don't feel that way at all. But so there, you have to kind of walk down the walkway to see the other hotel that's on the other side. They're kind of hidden, each one of them. But if you go down to the walkway that's by the lagoon and you walk out the edge of like the rocks and the water there, the sunset is amazing.
Beautiful.
So I would highly recommend that people do that as well.
Beautiful. That's awesome. Yeah. I remember reading something about the sunsets there, that they're supposed to be spectacular. So that's a great tip.
Yeah. And, I had another one I had too. That was something that was a tip from that I hadn't mentioned yet. Well, when we were there, one of the restaurants, Ama Ama, was closed because I think it was due to staffing, that they hadn't restaffed enough due to COVID.
Okay.
But however, if it had been open, I would have definitely eaten there because they had an amazing view. So I would definitely recommend that for a view.
Okay.
Because that one wasn't open, that one's like right on the ocean. It was really beautiful. Actually, we saw a wedding happening, which was really fun, right in front of it. It was really pretty. And of course, my 9-year-old said, now I know where I'm going to get married.
So, no!
she was like, I want to get married in Hawaii.
That's awesome.
But that was fun too, to see that. But that restaurant has an amazing view, but we wanted to have a view like that for our actual anniversary. So since we couldn't go to that one, we went to one that's technically at the Four Seasons Hotel, which is next door.
Right.
However, there, like where people eat outside is right where Olani is. So if you're on the walkway of Olani, like if you're facing the ocean and it's on the right, Mina's Fish House is right there on the beach, right next to Olani.
Okay.
So we made a reservation there, and they were great, and the food was really good. So I do recommend that, even though it's not technically on Olani grounds. It's right next to Olani. You can just walk right there.
One of those things that I got out of the whole discussion that I had previously, that, you know, that there's another resort that's right there, but it's like it's there, but it's not there, but it's close enough you can walk to it and use some of the amenities and so forth. But it's kind of neat, actually. It kind of adds to it a little more.
It was so fun because we literally had our feet in the sand and we're sitting at a fire table and outside. So it's a cool restaurant.
That's a decent 10th anniversary dinner, I would think, you know. Not too shabby. That's very cool. I mean, it just sounds like so much fun. And I appreciate all the tips you've given us and, you know, things you've suggested. And it sounds like you had so much fun, so it's worthwhile.
I just thought of one more.
Oh, sure, sure.
For people who are fans of the Bippity Boppity Boutique, which we were, my daughter had herself done at the Bippity Boppity Boutique as a princess, but a few years ago when we were in Disney World, they have a Bippity Boppity Boutique. They don't call it that, but it's like that at Olani. So they do makeovers, but they do it Hawaiian style. So they do like a makeover, they think they called it a luau makeover for her, where she selected like a Hawaiian dress and they did her hair in a Hawaiian braids and then put flowers in her hair and did her makeup, and she loved that. So anybody who enjoys that would love that as well.
That's very cool.
So we did that on the day that we did the luau, and then she went to the luau, you know.
Oh, right, in the right garb. Yeah, exactly. All dressed up and someplace to go.
Exactly. And although we didn't utilize it, they do have a spa there. We didn't utilize it because we had my daughter with us, and it's really for adults only. But I've heard really good things about it.
Yep. Yeah, I have too. That would be really cool to see. But you know, you seems like you made the most of everything you had in that sense. So that was still
pretty
good.
We really did. It was really fun.
That's cool. And you still had some time for your 10th anniversary, so that's not a bad thing. It's all, you know, it all kind of works out. Nah, that's cool. So I had a question for you. It's unrelated to Alani, and it's just a question I like to ask everybody who comes on as a guest. I know you're a Disney fan, and you like Disney World, and perhaps you've been to Disneyland too. What is your favorite attraction? It's a tough question, I know.
That's a tough question. All right. I have not been to Disneyland. Okay. So that is on my list of things to do, and actually my husband and I are thinking of going next year. So
okay.
To California and making that trip. But my favorite attraction, that is so tough.
I know, it's like picking your favorite child. I know, I get it. But I always like to ask because it just, you know, gives a little perspective, make you think a little bit.
I'll give like a couple
sure.
from different aspects of like what, I don't know. There's like the nostalgic part of me loves It's a Small World.
Sure.
I know people either like love or hate that ride, pretty much. But I love it. Like it's one of those ones that if I'm at the Magic Kingdom, I have to go at least once.
Fair enough, yep.
So I think that's a nostalgia thing though, because I remember it from when I was so little on my first trip to Disney when I was 5 years old.
Nice.
I also, one of our more recent ones was the Flight of Passage at Pandora.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved that one. It was just so immersive and I felt like, you know, I actually like screamed and laughed and like went through a series of emotions on that ride because it just felt so real. And I think I wasn't really expecting to feel as real as it was. So that one was like, in terms of like a thrill ride, probably my favorite.
Cool. Okay.
And then I'm trying to think of other things. Okay. This is another one that I love, which probably isn't usually, I think it's underrated, but it's Cinderella or the Prince's Carousel?
Yeah, it's the Prince's Carousel now, but yeah. It's Prince Charming's Regal Carousel now. Yep.
I forget what it's actually called. Yeah. I really enjoy that as well. I really just think I like all the details, and again, I think it's like I think I have like a nostalgic attachment to that one.
Sure, sure.
So those are some that just come to the top of my head.
That's cool.
I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And we're actually planning a trip to Hollywood Studios
right
now for April, and I have not been to Hollywood Studios since it was MGM.
Okay, so it's been a while.
It'll
right.
be completely different.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, it is.
One, like, I remember, like, the Indiana Jones show from when I was younger as being, like, a favorite of mine there, and I've heard that it's back, so that will be one that I definitely want to hit.
Oh, definitely. You know, I remember when it first opened, I remember going to it. It was really cool. I got to be in the audience participant in one show, and I thought it was really neat. And I went many times after that, and then didn't go for a long time. And I went recently, like a couple of years ago, and I sat there in the audience and I went, this is fun, but, you know, it lacked a little something. It was still the same show.
Really?
It was still the same show, and it was still fun, but I just had that moment where I was like, I'm just looking for something more. I don't know what it is, but...
Right. And also, like, I don't know if you could consider this an attraction, but I just love, like, all the performances that happen that are kind of, like, in the street or, where Cinderella's castle is at the Magic Kingdom, how they do performances right in front of that on that little stage.
Yep.
Or sometimes, like, when we were at Animal Kingdom, we saw one just kind of, like, or it seemed like it was just kind of impromptu. It probably wasn't impromptu, but it seemed that way, like... in the street.
Yes.
And I love that kind of stuff too, even though it's not an actual attraction. I feel like that's what I love about Disney more than like another theme park.
Yeah, that's fair, because that's exactly, you know, what makes it is sort of that immersiveness. You feel like you're there and everything just kind of happens around you. And it's not like you're just walking from one attraction to another. There's stuff to do in between. And whether that's, you know, because of that streetmosphere, or whether that's because of other things that are happening, or just going in and out of some of the shops, it's really pretty cool to experience it that way. I'm with you there. And just having some of the surprises around every corner. One of my favorite things, this is the most trivial thing, I love going to the Animal Kingdom and going, just walking around and seeing some street performance that just randomly happens. I know it's on a schedule, but it feels like it's random, just like you said. It feels like it's random. And, you know, it's like, wow, there's a bunch of dancers there. There's, you know, somebody playing the drums, or there's something happening, and it just makes it kind of exciting. And, you know, if you don't look at the schedule, it feels completely like out of the blue.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened to us when we were at Animal Kingdom. We were walking around, and then we just saw people dancing in the middle of the street, and we ended up, like, dancing with them. My daughter went and danced with some characters, and we took a little video of her, and it ended up being a highlight of our day.
Yeah, I have a recollection of my mom, you know, like 10 or 12 years ago, standing there and starting to dance with some people. It was just so funny. She got so caught up in it, she started dancing. My mom doesn't do that. So it was just
right.
It was just great. It was so awesome. You know, it's a great memory of, you know, having some fun times. And my kids still talk about it. They're like, remember when Grandma went?
Oh, that's so funny.
It's really cool. It's really amazing. Oh, I just love it. I can't wait to get back myself. You know, one of these days I'll actually make it back there. It's just, it's a matter of time. You know, everything that's going on.
I know. It does take a lot of planning now.
And that's the thing that's I used to love being able to, you know, just decide, I'm going to take the day off work and I'm going to drive up there. And I would do that. And I could just, on a whim, just do it. And now it's a little harder to do that. You have to do a little bit of planning to be able to make that happen. So.
I totally agree. I mean, we've noticed that even just in the past 9 years that my daughter's been alive, when we first took her to Disney, she was about two. And when we first took her, I remember going and we said, you know what, we're not going to make any plans. We're not even going to book Fast Pass before we get there. Mm-hmm. We just went with her and we said, you know, because she was only two, so we thought, we'll just go with what she wants to do and see, you know, when she gets tired and just see the characters and just let her just kind of take it in.
Yep.
And we went and just had a day like that. And it was one of our best memories of Disney. And now I feel like, I don't know if that would be possible. Like, I feel like you wouldn't be able to get into any restaurants. You wouldn't.
You might not get any attractions. I don't know.
Hollywood Studios. I mean, I started planning it. I mean, it was a little bit last minute in terms of Disney, but it was probably like 45 days out. So I missed that 60-day, you know, window to book restaurants. And everything was booked up.
Ugh.
So, at morning, noon, and night, you know, like, I couldn't get us in anywhere. And so, you know, now you definitely, I think, need to plan, or you don't really need to, but it's harder to just go and not plan.
Yes. Yep. And that's exactly it. I mean, I can remember doing things on the spur of the moment, just walking up to some restaurant and going, hey, do you have a seat available? And they often would. If you were willing to wait a little bit or whatever. You know, and now it's kind of like, no, sorry, make a reservation.
Right. Yeah, because that day that we went with her when she was two to the Magic Kingdom, I remember we went to Crystal Palace, and we had to wait a little bit, like maybe 20, 30 minutes, but we got it, even though we didn't have a reservation.
And I don't know if you could do that anymore. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's kind of weird. But that's the way it is. You know, that's how times change, and they may change again. That's what the great part about it. You just don't know. Could be different again tomorrow or next year. I don't know.
Right.
But that's what makes it neat. Well, Shannon, I appreciate you taking some time and telling us about Alani and kind of shooting the breeze a little bit about Disney. It's always nice to get my fix that way, you know, just to kind of catch up a little bit on things that are going on. I know sometimes I talk about things and, you know, maybe there's some things happening around the parks that aren't as much fun, but it's great to talk about the fun things and, you know, kind of think about it in a very positive way. So thanks for bringing me back to reality on that.
Oh, you're welcome. It was so fun to be on the show. I really love your show, and so it's an honor for me to be able to be a guest, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And
one little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation. Right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you.
For my One Little Spark segment today, I wanted to talk about One Little Spark. I wanted to kind of bring a little context to what I'm doing. I know I do this periodically where I kind of remind you why I do this, and I just think it's important to kind of remember this as we go through it. I don't know how many people go back and listen to previous podcasts and think about some of the things that I've said in the past. The point here is to just enlighten, maybe entertain, educate a little, and bring to the forefront something in that space where we have a little need for a little social interaction. The word social justice has been kind of applied and misapplied along the way, and I understand it has sort of a connotation to it. And while I think about social justice in the context of this podcast, in this segment, it's not exactly what I'm going for. It's sort of this idea of how do we interact socially. And some of you have had some great feedback for me and told me you really like what I'm doing here. And thank you for giving me that feedback. I appreciate it.
And you get what I'm trying to do here. While others of you have had very strong opinions on the other side, saying, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting my time? This is a Disney podcast. We should be doing something else. You know, focus on the things that are happy instead of all this other stuff. I've heard people say, hey, let's leave that to the news media. Don't talk about those things. You know, talk about the happiest place on earth. And it's interesting because when you think about the happiest place on earth, it's a cross-section of society. You look at all the people that work there, all the people that go there. Well, maybe not so much because of the price anymore, but in general, the people that go there, the people that are there to have a good time. And they're a cross-section of society. So it cuts through everything. All of this social well-being kind of cuts through everything. So I'm going to continue to do this and talk about things that I think are important in the social space. And I think it's worthwhile spending a few minutes on it on every podcast. And you may disagree with me, but I hope you just stop and think about things. And I would like to clarify one finer point here. I know sometimes I talk about issues in the social space that relate to blacks, African Americans. And my intent is really just to give you some perspective of what history looked like for the people who had been enslaved and were freed and had other things that became part of systemic racism. And the intent is not to shame white people in any way. That's not it at all. I just want to provide some understanding of what happens in society and how we can be better as a society and some of the things that we could do, all of us, every one of us. And it's interesting too, because one of the things that I've learned in my own history, I have a very Irish-sounding last name. I look very white, but most people don't know that I'm partially Hispanic. And then until I did my DNA test, I didn't know that I have other things in me too. So oddly, it turns out that I'm Irish in name only. I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of me that's Irish, but my family history is much more complicated than that. I come from many more places. My family history is very rich and, you know, it's really interesting. But more interesting than that is understanding the history of my family dynamic. I found out that one of my grandmothers had been lying to me for years about my history, about my ancestry. So the really interesting thing that came out of this was not about the DNA. That was interesting, don't get me wrong. But what I wanted to know was why I didn't know about some of this family history. And it turns out that when I started doing my genealogical research and talking to my parents and other people and relatives and things and finding historical articles written in the newspaper about things that happened in my family history, I learned a lot more about my grandmother. Now, my grandmother lived until I was in my 40s. So it's really intriguing to me that she kept these stories up for so long and had made up all of these tales and different things. I just find the whole thing fascinating, and it really does come to the heart of really understanding our own history, right? And embracing it. And I think in embracing my own history, I started to think about what we all have out there, what our shared common themes are. You may do your DNA research and find something out about yourself that surprises you. You may do a genealogical research or do a little historical digging into your family and find some little intriguing nugget that just makes you rethink the world a little bit and think about sort of your own family dynamic and how you fit into the whole social space. You may find that you aren't what you think you are exactly. And that's kind of the interesting thing. We're all people. Learning this about my family does not change anything about me and who I am, but it does help me to have more awareness of what's happening in the world. And that's just my intriguing thought. And it just kind of hit me that I could kind of tie this in and just tell you a little story there. Now, another thing you might want to consider as you think about sort of this idea of justice, and social implications, words are often applied. And we use those words, certain images come to mind. And what I'd like you to do is understand those words. They're just words. And we've applied something to them. So we hear the word terrorist, or we hear the word hoodlum, or we hear the word patriot, or we hear the word victim. And those words conjure up an image in our minds of something. What that something is up to each individual. But I'd like you to stop and think about the fact that we have all these preconceived notions about things that are out there. And as you think about your own history and how you fit into it, remember that we're all just people. We're all interesting. We've all got these interesting stories, and we've all got histories, and we've all got things we like, don't like, want, don't want. But the one thing, if you're listening to this podcast, that I'm pretty sure you do like, that we have in common, is this love of Disney. I'm pretty sure that we all have that. And that makes us all connected in a way. It's a common ground that we can find that allows us to connect with each other. And I'd like to remind you that we should connect with each other, that that's part of what we should be doing as society, finding ways to connect with each other and be good people, be good citizens, be kind to one another. And that's it. That is my podcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember, if we can dream it, we can certainly do it. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Disney View podcast. We hope you had a pleasant stay and arrive home safely. Please remain seated until your ride vehicle stops completely. Then, gather your personal belongings and step out onto the moving platform. And yes, I know it went by so quickly, but don't worry. One of the nice things about traveling on this podcast is that the journey is just beginning. Show notes are available on DisneyWorldPodcast.net. While there, please check out some of our affiliates. You'll also find links to Dave's iPhone and iPad apps. There's an app for pin trading, one for finding hidden Mickeys, and an app for finding and tracking pressed pennies around the Walt Disney World Resort. And you never know just what Dave is working on next. If you have questions, feel free to drop Dave an email at davesdisneyview@gmail.com. Original music you're hearing in this podcast is Oslo Doom by Gilberto Gil. Of course, this is a fan podcast and in no way affiliated with the Walt Disney Company.